What's up, everybody? It's your host, Brandon Patrick. Welcome to another episode of Storytime with Brandon. Today on the show, we've got a special guest, my good friend, Chef Taylor. Taylor is one of my favorite people in Denver, man. I met him, and I immediately was like, this dude is fucking family. I love this guy. He's going to talk about his restaurant and a little adventure he got into early in his career that could have ended the whole thing. Enjoy.
Johnson Wells, we always talk about sometimes the flavor profile that I bring to my food. Johnson Wells, I got to go to Italy for like 2.5 weeks.
But culinary tour. Did you get the Johnson and Wales?
So I'm J&J and W. Hanging out. Bunch of the homies are coming out. And they brought a bunch of edibles.
Yeah.
Some wax. I mean, it was great. Snuck it past. Nobody gives a fucking customs about stuff like that. But
let's see how fast you do this.
Yo, less than 30 seconds. We start in Parma, northern Italy, where prosciutto is made.
Okay.
Prosciutto de Parma. Second night in Italy, we go to a prosciutto factory. And classic.
That's like Cheesecake Factory,
yeah.
But
yeah.
In Italy.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, you're going to the Parmesan factory tomorrow. So,
I love Parmesan.
Yeah.
Will it walk in the Parmesan factory?
Yep.
My favorite cheese, I'll just say it, tortilla.
Cogita?
Cogita. Yep.
Cogita.
I don't know, man. Oh, man. I really tried.
I thought you said Cogita at first, dude.
I thought I was going to impress you with some knowledge, and you're like,
it's okay, it's Cogita cheese.
Yeah, the Cogita.
Cogita.
I sound like one of those kids who can't read.
Yo, you were very... There was a lot of confidence in saying that, though.
I pronounce
the salmon sandwich.
Like a salmon sandwich?
I love the salmon. When they make the salmon, when Chef sends me the salmon, it's just so goddamn good every time.
Oh, yeah.
But, so second night, we just got done touring this prosciutto factory. I just had a nice bowl of pasta de carbonara.
Bolognese? Oh, carbonara.
Carbonara.
Oh.
Black truffles.
Oh, Jesus.
And then we start drinking. Italy, they don't care if you walk around the streets with beers, so Heinekens are everywhere. And, like, it's like 11 going on 12. Well, like, let's go find a strip club. Because we think Italian strip clubs got to be classy. Probably Gucci everywhere, Versace. I mean, quite even, like, your PT's American standard would be, like, classy. Probably, dude, piano style, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Find this one, nothing like that. It's just like one girl dancing.
So Rome, where is this?
This is Parma, where prosciutto comes from.
Where prosciutto, Parmesan?
Something like it.
So it was not a good strip club?
Not a good strip club, one chick, one guy, one stage. And they were like, yeah, just go crowd around. This guy is super fucking into it. He's like, come join me. I love Americans. I'm like, this is not our scene. Mind you, one of our friends is supposed to meet us here in like 25 minutes. So I'm like, all right, I'm stepping out, smoking a cig. I step outside. And I've been taking Spanish for like, you know, the semester, trimester, 3 months. So, you know, out there, same language almost. So I'm speaking Spanish to the Italians, broken Italian. Car pulls up, two dudes in it. Start speaking Italian to me. I start speaking Spanish. I got the Heineken in my hand. He's like, let me get a sip. Give it to him. No problem. They pass it around.
Pre-COVID,
before even thinks about it. And they're like, you know what? Get in the car. So I'm like, all right, let's fucking do this. Now,
and you got people with you, though.
There's two of my friends walking towards me at this point.
Yeah.
I get in this car. Mind you, it was a minivan, and I saw some kid toys in the back. You know, like one of those nice... fucking Hummer, electric,
yeah.
You know.
Seems safe.
I'm like, yeah.
Kid toys.
Dad's fucking kids' toys
that's
everywhere.
A
quite a good father,
that's
if
a good
anything.
Lure.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a
yeah.
Lure.
Yeah.
Just a dad on a bender.
On a bender with
yeah.
his boy.
Yeah.
Perfect. I get in. We're having a great time. We get on a highway. I start to realize I'm in Italy. I don't know where the fuck I'm at.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm just in this car, and these guys are speaking Italian.
And your friends didn't get in.
My friends are like, I think Taylor just got in that car. My friends are not there. So, like,
wow.
We start talking. We're having a good time. I'm starting to sweat. Pull up to this fucking house. And like Moses in the Red Sea, doors open, bunch of Italian black guys just walk out. And they all separate. One little black guy walks out. Scarface, like white eye, tiger eye. Starts talking Italian to these guys. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Looks at me. American, American. I'm like, this is it. This is it. Hey, this is where the chapter ends.
Yeah.
And he looks at me and says, okay, man, it's going to be like 65 euros. And I'm like, for what? He's like, these guys said you're going to buy cocaine tonight. And I'm like, I don't have any money. Bullface lie. Turns, fucking whole mood changes. He starts yelling at these two.
Yeah.
These two start yelling at me. And I'm like, all right, guys, can we just go? And we do. Mood was pretty low. It was pretty low. Like, you could tell everybody was a little, unhappy.
Lucas probably died that night. Everybody
yeah.
Back.
Yeah, little bummed out.
That was how we thought it was going to go.
Yeah, yeah. No, we swerved off, though. And I was like, this is where they dumped me.
Yeah.
But no, we stop. He pulls out cocaine. And then we take some bumps. We take some lines.
Okay.
Now we're fucking friends. Yeah. Now I'm like, hey, you know what? Let's go get my friends.
Yeah.
And they're like, fucking great idea. We pull up. Mind you, my boy is still supposed to meet us at this strip club, like 25 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't there, right? So I pick up my boys, two of us, or two more of them. They're like, oh my God. They get in the car. I'm like, yo, you see the toy? It's good, father. We're good, but get in. We go to this dude's house. His wife is Puerto Rican, and she speaks perfect English. So they start translating. And he's like, yo, I got a restaurant owner who's about to come up, this fucking seafood place. It's going to bring us cocaine for free. We stayed up till 5 in the morning. I'm telling you.
Nobody has a credit card.
Nobody. Everybody doesn't have credit, but you got a guy who can get you cocaine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We got a guy.
We got a guy. Comes up, fanny pack, vest. We start fucking breaking it out. I'm arm wrestling this guy. Mind you, my friend is still going to the strip club by himself. And, you know, great night. Everybody loved it. We showed up like 2 hours before we're supposed to get on the bus to go to like the culinary portion of the trip.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's like, man, where the fuck did you guys go? Like, what the fuck? Coolest guys on the block now. But come back and our friend just lights us up like bawling in tears about how we left him at this strip club.
Because he took too long to get there.
Because he took too long. I looked at him. I said, you said 25 minutes.
That's on him, man.
He said, oh, I thought I was waiting for you guys. Winded up spending $250 on a bullshit stripper. Didn't even get a dance somehow.
Yeah, that sounds like his fault.
Yeah, that's
like,
all.
He's not taking responsibility for his
ass. They didn't make him take down $250.
He's like, somebody else is. Somebody else is in charge of my credit card.
Yeah, what do you. Is this guy
well,
new?
No, and it's actually fucked because he is like the actual full blood Italian. So he's like.
He could have saved him.
He could have saved himself. But he didn't even do that.
$250, but I mean, first of all, it's not even a lot of money.
Like,
I mean,
euros.
What's your friend's economic situation here, where he's like, yeah, $250 broke me.
Yeah.
Like destroyed me.
It didn't break him, and that's actually a great point. It wasn't about the money.
Okay.
It wasn't even about the fact that we weren't there when he was there. It's the fact that we lived life without him.
Oh, I felt like he missed some shit.
Fucking FOMO.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
Because we told him about the whole night.
Yeah.
And he just, oh man, I love cocaine. Oh man, I love drinking Heinekens. Oh man, I love Italian dudes. And like.
The thing about those nights is they can just happen again.
They can just happen again. I was like, yo, we're going to go to this dude's fucking restaurant. Like, let's just meet up and.
So, okay, as a comedian, sometimes it's like, I have the jokes I want to do, but I also have a job to do, and I owe these people experience, so I need to give them the best stuff, so maybe I'll hold back on kind of what I want to do. I mean, I like the balance I've struck.
I mean,
but do you ever have moments where you're like, I don't want to be doing sushi right now. I want to be doing a pasta. And, like, but you just have to do the sushi.
I mean, at this point, the situation that I've created, I've always, like, prided myself on the fact that, like, sure, I don't care what the fuck you came in to eat tonight. What I'm serving is what I have.
Yeah.
That's my food. That's what I felt like cooking today. And that's the only reason why I'm cooking. You know, the day I'm like, all right, Karen's going to dictate my menu is the day that, like, I'm not going to fucking be cooking.
You're not coming in.
Not coming in. You know, but at the same time, I have bangers that I know. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, I'm sure you got those jokes. No matter the crowd, no matter the energy, it's going to crush. And you know that. You don't keep that on the menu because you know there's no need to.
Yeah.
You know, it's the menu, your menu, your, like, set is, like, how you try new shit. And then, like, you're building this master list of, like, bangers. And you know, like, oh, if I ever just drop that menu,
yeah,
I'm never going to be able to change from it.
Yeah.
Because fucking somebody's going to get mad that I took whatever. And that's, you know, I don't know how you become corporate somehow, but...
Well, I drop my menu all the time. Like, that's what an album is.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll never do this material again.
Yeah.
So now it's here.
Huh.
You know, I don't do, like, you know, an hour of material anymore because it's already available. So
yeah.
So it's like, I do this other thing.
Yeah. Which is... What? Just, like comedy shows?
Yeah.
Like, a few minute sets? That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, you know, it's definitely, like, again, like, the whole idea of, like, what I'm doing is, like, I've seen so many chefs, talented, just get trapped, like you said, in this box of...
The restaurant system?
Yeah. I mean, the restaurant, it's four fucking walls. It's truly a box, and, like, you're stuck.
Yeah.
And, you know... I love being able to just, like, oh, I'm sorry you didn't like that. Well, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know? But I also bring to the table, it's like, you know, not everybody's supposed to be cool. We're not all supposed to be fucking friends. We're not all going to get along. That's a fucking ideology that doesn't exist. You know, even in Utopia, somebody's going to be like, yo, fuck Brandon. I don't like that guy. Taylor sucks. We're cool. I'll say what's up. But I'm not going to fucking hang out with this dude.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and, like, that whole idea of, like, all right, well, everybody needs to love my food. Everybody needs to like it. Like, they don't. I used to love hearing the things that were wrong with my food when I was younger, opposed to how much people liked it. Because everybody loves my shit.
Everybody's,
yeah. Oh, you get just jaded to it after a while. But when someone's like, well, you know, I'm like, oh, what do you got for me?
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, too salty. You know, I just, too much of this. Those are, like, the honest opinions that you
get. Yeah, yeah.
You know, because the asshole that comes in, oh, yeah, it was great. I loved it. He really didn't love it.
And it goes on Yelp. And
yeah. Says, four-star reviewers are anonymous. And or they just don't come back.
Yeah.
And that's the worst thing. Those are the one customer base that you really got to try to tap into that's, like...
The repeat market. Yeah.
You know, the repeat market, and we got a few that, like, always come here every Wednesday, always come, you know, whatever, but those are, like, the ones that you want to really see, like, alright, you know, I haven't seen you since the last time you came back, or you came back and you didn't order food, you just got drinks.
Okay.
But you've been here for a few hours. So, like, you know, those are the tables that every now I'm like, oh, you guys didn't eat tonight? Oh, did you guys eat before? You know, sometimes they're like, no. We're just not hungry. And what they're saying to you is like, we just don't like your food. We're not going to fucking eat at all. I'm fucking wasted. My girlfriend is trashed. But...
We're just going to go 7-Eleven and
get
a burrito.
We're probably going to hit 7-Eleven after this. You know what? Taco Bell in the Uber. I'll fucking buy the Uber driver a fucking Baja Blast. He pulls through every time.
Man.
Yeah. those are the little things. I mean, it's, you know, the restaurant industry, just like the comedy. I mean, every night is a different crowd. Every night is a, you can fucking totally bomb it. Nobody orders. Nobody fucking laughs. And then you got those nights when just everything is gold.
Yeah.
Everything is just fucking gold.
It just works.
Like, you couldn't do anything wrong that night.
Yeah.
Even when you did, it was still just fucking gold.
I love it. Like,
yeah.
Those are the nights, man. Those are the nights. But then it's the nights that are average, your baseline nights, that are going to determine your trajectory.
That determine everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your baseline? Because, I mean, there was a dude tonight who, it wasn't my taste. I didn't like the shit. I thought it was not good.
You know, I like when other comics, especially like when you're like, I feel like tonight was probably one of the first nights I've heard you be like, you know, that was just...
shit sucks.
That was shit. Me walking up to you like, oh, yeah, how'd she do tonight? She didn't do tonight.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, I have that honesty in me.
Yeah.
And I want people to feel the same shit.
Yeah.
Like,
hey,
Brandon's
new
shit ain't as good as his old shit.
That
whatever.
Shit sucks. You know, I remember like being in college and like, you know, being like getting on my fit shit, and I just remember like that time I let myself go, and one of my boys was like, "Bati, you're getting fat as fuck right now. Bro, you need to get back in the gym." And like that honesty stuck with me. I'm like, that's so bold, bro. Like,
yeah.
You don't even tell your friends sometimes, like, "Hey man, you're just fucking fat."
Did you whip his ass?
No, I was like, I fucking went to the gym. Yeah, I whooped his ass but you know, he was...
You whooped your ass.
I whooped my own ass to whoop his ass.
I need someone to whoop my ass.
Man, you need to come fucking hang out with me.
You've seen my
fucking
bank account. I can't throw this in there. See what I got going on.
Yo, cash in like a suit. Sell a few suits.
Bro, absolutely not.
Now you're just talking crazy.
Suit? What?
Yo.
Last night I was wearing some shoes, and this girl was like, "How much are these shoes?" And I was like, I got on fucking StockX, and I was like, $400. Just wearing them.
Yeah.
Just wearing them.
Did that get you laid, though?
Nah, she's got
it. What is, what's with it with the suits?
You put on a uniform, you expect to do a job. So, when I put my uniform on, I'm going to work.
Yeah.
So, I'm in presentation mode.
Yeah.
And the thing about the suits, you know, for a while I was doing kind of lowbrow material. I was talking about the trash can story, fucking the chick. Shit in the bed, you know? It's like, if I come to you and I'm in, like, jeans and a shirt, I'm telling you that story, you're like, that's a grimy dude telling a grimy story. I class it up with the suit.
Yeah.
And they're like, "All right.
Tell me more about this."
This is a storyteller telling me a story.
Yeah.
I'm...
So, you know, with comics, with being a comedian, there's once, like, Ben, me and him outside, he's like, "Well, you know, this guy is, like, this type of comedian. And this guy is, like, this type of comedian." And, like, I didn't understand, so there's, you know, I imagine, like, you know, chefs, you have, like, "Oh, well, this guy's super in the Asian, this guy's super in Italian," and, like, I've heard that idea of, like, well, he's really funny because he's, like, a storyteller. Not like you're just telling jokes, but you're, like, taking people on this journey with you, and, like...
Here's what it is. I'll fuck you up with this. Jokes are appetizers.
Ooh.
Stories are a meal. Stories will fill you.
Yeah.
Nourish you. You want to share a story.
Yeah. You'll come back for the story.
You'll pass around an appetizer.
You will pass around an appetizer.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
But
everyone gets
share.
Their own entree.
Yeah.
You get your own entree.
Yeah.
That's your journey.
Yeah.
That you're going on.
Because I've seen, like, some comedians come in and they're just, like, jokes.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, that's cool. But, you know, those, I feel like, I don't know, like, I mean, is there one style that does better than the other? Or is it just, is it truly the comedian itself that makes each style a style that can be, you know, in a sense, successful on its own.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, like, you know, I used to tour with D.L. Hughley.
That's like, fucking crazy, dude.
I was on his radio show for 5 years.
Like, you know this motherfucker. Like,
Friends. Yeah.
Funny dude, huh?
I say he's my best friend.
That's cool.
I'm not his best friend.
Yeah, yeah. I got a really famous chef that I'm, like, super cool with that I say, like, yeah, nah, me and him talk all the time.
He's, like, he's saved my life, man. Yeah. He's put money in my pocket on some times that I'm just, like...
I need some money in my pocket.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
He put me on the radio 5 years, paid me every week.
Yeah.
Good dude. But the way he does comedy, joke.
Yeah.
He's fast.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, no.
Yeah.
Nah, man. Can't do it like that.
So would you say, like, something like Kevin Hart, storyteller?
He's a storyteller, but he tells fast-paced stories.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of punches in his stories. My stories, man, sometimes, and I'm working on this, I'm trying to improve it, you know, you'll go a long stretch without necessarily, like, something funny happening.
Yeah.
You know, because there's got to be exposition.
Yeah.
That's my drawback versus jokes. Jokes are set up punch.
Yeah.
Set up punch.
Yeah.
I got very long setups, and so, like...
But I feel like at that point, it's all about the drop. You know, yeah, it's like you're like DJing.
If I can get them there.
If you can get them there.
You know, but if they tune out because it's not funny, and then they tune back in, and they're like, oh, I don't know what he's talking about, I know. It happens, you know?
Like, yeah.
I've been doing shows and just drunk chicks. What are you talking about? are you still at the mall?
I could not deal with, like, not like hecklers, but like, yeah, like just hecklers, like, you know, yeah, the people. I mean, you know, we had one table a few weeks ago that nonstop talking, and that happens a lot. But like, I noticed it, and I was like, hey guys, like, comedy show's going on, can you please keep it up down? I'm like, oh my god, can you hear us? I'm like, you're at a comedy show right now. Yeah, please.
You're in a room that seats 75 people. Yeah, yeah. We can all.
And you're not even paying attention.
Yeah.
This dude's back at face the show, so...
It's weird that people will pay for an experience and not be present for it.
You know, those are just, like, idle fucking credit cards that you pick up, you know? Yeah. And I'll take them, like, all right. But I don't get, like, you know, I don't get that, like, all right, you not being present is affecting my show.
It's yeah,
like,
yeah.
All right, Karen and Josh walked in, they're not present, but they're going to spend $100 tonight. How was the food? Ah, it was great. Can we get a box?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can. The tab is closed. Give them all the boxes. Like, we had one chick walk up to us, and this was like, they were drinking sake heavy, and looks at us. Like, can we get $150 worth of sushi? Yeah, you sure can. I'm going to tell the bartender with the ring in right now. Hey, ring this in now.
Yeah.
Ring it in. She swipes. We're making all this. We're sending all this stuff out. We probably sent out $50 worth of food. And they're like, oh, man, can we split some of that money up and buy more drinks? I'm like, no, you cannot.
No, it's different business. It's
like, different company. We still got... I dropped this fucking platter of sushi. Fucking everything. And they're like... Can we get boxes? I'm like, yeah, you can. We just did all this plate, and I knew we didn't have to do all this, but
the fact that you did it says something about you.
Yeah, I mean, hey, these guys have to work. You know, I'm paying these motherfuckers to do something. If I was a smart business owner, it wouldn't be like, oh, yeah, just throw it in a box. Like,
yeah.
Nah, I'd be like, all right, you guys fucking work, and then I'm going to fucking drop this off to bring it back to you and work some more to put it in a box.
Do you plate food at home?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. I do a lot of meal preps these days. Like, really? The pandemic.
That's what I... Man, let me tell you something. I try meal prep all the time. I'll cook, like, a bunch of chicken and, like, box it up and put it in the fridge and then...
You don't need it.
Like, 2 days later, I'm like, I am fucking sick of chicken and broccoli.
That is the one idea that you just gotta numb yourself. I mean...
Yeah.
I eat seafood... at least 7 times to 8 times a week.
Okay.
And it's always salmon, cod, or mahi. But it's always over a bed of orzo, roasted broccoli, or roasted Brussels sprouts. That is my meal at least twice a day. And then I'll like chicken breast, same thing though. Orzo and some fucking veg.
If my meals were as good as what yours sound like.
I'm glad because I overcook everything because it's meal prep. So it's like, this isn't 5-star. This is like, all right, I'm fucking taking 2 hours of my Monday to make sure I have enough food for the week. It doesn't matter. Because at that point, it's not like what I'm eating. It's like, all right, there's 1,500 calories in this. One meal that's going to be, and I got this, I got that, I got that. I know subconsciously I'm getting the nutrients opposed to looking at it and be like, fucking broccoli again.
Yeah.
Overcooked salmon again. It's like, all right, this shit's all fucked. But I'm still getting the nutrients. I'm still just going to wolf it down anywhere.
Do you have like a meal where you just kind of go...
No.
Make something good? No?
No, it's... I mean, I am sick of everything I eat every week.
But I see
the results.
The thing I'm hearing from you, I hear from musicians. Studio musicians. Where it's like, you playing shit you like?
Yeah.
Nah.
Not at all, man. That's a good one.
I'm getting paid. getting fucking paid. But I don't like it.
Yo, that is it, man. That's fucking exactly what it is.
That's what got me out of music.
I believe it.
I wanted to be a studio musician.
Yeah.
And I went on a couple of gigs, and I was like, this shit sucks. Like, what? Bro, when I'd be in like a big band, so it's 18 pieces. I'm in the back. I was like, can't even talk to chicks.
I'm not even up front. Like, I'm the last person that's going to be seen.
I'm back. I got to stand on top of a chair. Bro, I'm good. I'm like, this shit fucking sucks.
For the birds, man. For the birds.
Go in and you're like, I've been working on this new lick. And they're like, yeah, but we're playing this.
We've been playing this, and we're still going to play this.
Yeah, you know what the fuck it is.
We don't even pass out music notes anymore.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows what the fuck we're playing. It's Thursday night. You know what we're playing on Thursday. Like,
there's this dude, Eric Leeds, saxophone player. Played for Prince in the 80s.
Okay.
Then came back in the 2000s. He did an interview, and he's like, I don't like Prince's music.
Yeah.
I just don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's not my kind of music. But it's like...
But he paid you.
He's like, I liked him. He's a cool dude. Yeah. But like, it was just a gig.
Yeah. Hey, I showed up and then I left.
You worked with the greatest musician of our generation, and you were just like...
And it was
like,
just a job.
This shit's whack.
I was just clocking in and out.
Bro. It's like... As a layperson, we can't even imagine.
Nah.
Like, that's the dream gig.
Yeah.
You're playing from... Bro.
But, you know, it begs the question, like, when you are in a you know, in your own, like, a top performer in your industry, you know, is it, like, oh, man, this is great, or is it just another job at that point? Like, all right, Obama calls me, like, I heard that fried rice, fire. I need some. You know, I always hope that I'm still going to get excited.
Yeah.
That's great. Fuck. But... You know, I can understand when it's like, it doesn't matter who it is, it's the same fucking fried rice that we're making.
You made the same shit.
It is the same fried rice. Nothing is ever going to change on this fucking fried rice.
Yeah.
Other than the person that I set it in front of. But even that doesn't change. Because everybody eats with a fucking spoon. You know? Like, everybody eats fried rice with a fucking spoon. So.
I eat with a fork. I do. I'm mad every time I come here. You guys never have forks.
I always, because I gave you chopsticks once, and you were like, what is this?
Nah, man. Nah.
You were like...
From Norman, Oklahoma.
That day, I started putting spoons in all of our fried rice. Because I was just doing chopsticks. I'm like, oh, fuck, this is Asian as fuck right now. You were like, oh, can I get a spoon?
Can I get a...
The fuck is these fucking chopsticks?
I remember you gave me the biggest spoon I've ever seen. You gave me like a Kool-Aid spoon. I was like, we'll make it work. But the food's always fire. I just have to open my mouth like a fucking python. This shit is getting hot.
I just like to lock jaw every now and then. You know?
Yeah, it's weird that you can, like... Like, I love comedy.
Yeah.
I love what I do. I would never... I have ambitions outside of comedy.
Yeah.
But they all involve comedy.
Yeah, facts.
You know, like the podcast...
Yeah.
...is an extension of my stage...
Yeah.
...where it's like a storytelling show, but I want other people to tell me the stories.
Yeah.
But... You know, there was an aspect of, like, I'm going to Albany this weekend. I'm doing 30 minutes every night. Five shows.
Like a different venue every night?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's a comedy club in Albany.
Okay.
Five shows. 30 minutes. And I already know the material I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Like, I already know how it's going to go.
Yeah,
I already know. I've never even been there before. I know what's going to work.
Yeah.
I know what they're going to love.
You got that master menu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like.
And part of me is like, throw it away.
Yeah.
Do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah. Scrap it.
Throw it away and see
what happens. Bomb it. Just fucking bomb it. I mean, like, you get to a certain point where you feel like you can't do no wrong. It's like, how can I fucking bomb this, right? How can I make this meal... And not, like, intentionally sabotage myself, but, like...
Not poison somebody.
Yeah. But can I throw chicken liver in something and then be like, oh, this is fucking fuck. You know, can I throw something that's just, like, a wrench in the whole thing that, you know, we don't normally do, people don't normally expect. But that transfer is a lot easier with food.
That lemon aioli, let me tell you something. Lemon... Oh, my God. Bro, I took a bite, and I immediately went to social media. I was like,
I saw that.
I'm eating good, motherfucker. He said, how'd Brandon get fat in Denver? This is the fuck how Brandon got fat.
Yo, you used to say that shit to me.
Yeah.
Every time over there, like, hey, T, thanks for keeping me fat. I'm like,
I'm
not trying to, bro.
But it's like, man, you can't get stuck.
Yeah.
But you got goals.
Yeah.
And dude, like, as a young black guy in a city that's not necessarily built for you to thrive.
Adam. Yeah. Not necessarily built.
Yeah.
Which goes a long way. Yeah.
Man. I'm beyond impressed with you. Like, whenever I think I have all these schemes, like, these money making schemes, I'm like, me and Chef Taylor are gonna fuck.
You don't like this shit up.
We're gonna build a fucking storytelling show.
Man, I wish. I there was one time, like, Ben looked at me and was like, man, that was fucking funny. And like I said, like, I have somebody recorded it. I wish maybe I'll try to find it and send it to you. But, like, I always like to think I'm a funny guy.
You are funny.
I like to think that, like, but it's just one of those, like, I feel like, oh, yeah, like, in a group, just, like, in the back, I'm the funny guy. Not like on a stage, people are coming to like laugh.
Yeah.
I'm not the funny guy.
I push people to not get into comedy a lot.
Yeah.
Listen, you, as a funny dude in a situation, you have so much more power than a comedian.
Huh.
Because if your shit bombs, if a story bombs amongst friends, it's a.
Yeah. Nobody says anything.
The joke doesn't work if they're like you're supposed to. You're getting paid right now?
I came to see you right now?
Like, what the
damn, bro. Yeah, I can feel that. Because it's like, you know, you cook for friends. It's always good.
Whenever you introduce money,
it's a different game. Different playing field.
You know,
it's like, hey, you can feed me this burger, you can feed me this chili horse. I loved it. It was free. As soon as you drop a dollar on the table, you're like, is this dog food?
Expectations.
Yeah.
Expectations.
And it's like that. It's like a light switch. You're like, same dude, I fucking love that chili.
Yeah.
All right, $5.
I find out what's in it. Fuck. Yeah. Well, it's like...
I mean, it was free. I probably would have still ate it again.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Yeah.
if you're a musician like I am in my bedroom, just for fun, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
I can put whatever out I want. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
But once someone starts paying me for it, they have expectations.
They have expectations.
The shit has to sound rehearsed. It's got to be in tune. It's got to be, it's got to be this and that. So it's like, it's less fun.
Yeah.
It's less fun. There's more moving pieces. Now that I'm getting bigger as a comedian, I have to do all the shit I never wanted to do.
Yeah.
I got to fucking email people.
Yeah.
Will you book me? I used to just be able to drive everywhere, like my gigs. Now they're in fucking across the country. I gotta fly. I gotta get to the airport. I gotta buy a plane ticket.
Yeah, that shit sucks every time, bro, too. Like, I gotta check the bank. Fuck,
you gotta go to the hotel. It's like, you gotta pack.
Yeah.
What do they wear in this place?
Yeah.
Am I bringing $200 Jordans or the
the $400 customs.
Jordans. What am I bringing?
See, this is what I'm saying. Like, you tell me your bank account.
I saw the bank account. You saw what you saw.
And then it's always, you like once told me, I have a $3,000 suit.
Yeah.
That was customized and styled off of Richard Pryor's fucking suit. And, you tell me things like that, and I'm like... And then you show me things like that, and I'm like...
Yeah, it's, like, insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not... Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't
make
any sense.
Maybe you're onto something.
I got no kids. I got no wife.
Yeah, yeah. I got no alimony to pay to an ex-wife, either.
I got nothing... I got nothing to do but live.
Hey, fucking buy Dogecoin.
Just in my ear. I have $19 of Dogecoin that I might have to liquidate to get through the week.
Dude,
I might have to.
I am waiting for it to drop so I can buy more.
Yeah?
I'm sitting at about $200 fully invested.
Well, I've never had $200. That's millionaire shit.
Well, let me ask you this. If you think about it, what's your equity right now on your suits?
Suit equity. I got 11 suits in Denver.
Damn, you've gotten 11 suits since you've been here.
No, I have 11.
Oh, okay.
11.
And, you got 11 suits here.
Yeah, and then I have, another 6 or 7 in Kansas City.
Damn.
That I just not seasonable. So, I had a sponsorship for a while, and, the shit was whack. But,
4 suits?
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
But it wasn't sick.
These weren't the suits I wanted.
Yeah.
They told me which ones I wanted. They were
it sucks when the sponsor is just not the sponsor that you want.
When money gets involved.
Yeah.
You still got to do the thing you signed up for. But you're like, man, this shit is black. Suit equity. Let's see.
You can ballpark it. You don't have
the
pin and pad.
I mean, the thing is, who's buying new suits?
I mean, Goodwill built a whole company out of
that. Goodwill. What I paid.
Well, let's start a boutique used suit store.
Because,
You think about it, though, because suits are occasional. So it's like.
Well, it depends on how often you have occasions.
It does. And it does depend on the person. But, let's just say on average.
The average dude needs 3 suits.
And they pour. If you're wearing a suit, maybe, twice a month, maybe. You got that many occasions, you got 3 suits, so maybe now you're only wearing one of those suits every 3 months. And it's like, what's the depreciation value on that suit?
Worse than a car.
Probably. But then you also think.
Was probably $200.
Yeah. Cheapest one.
Cheapest one.
Yeah.
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 That I put on my body. About $200. You can go lower.
Yeah.
But
those are.
I can't.
I don't go lower.
Fucking,
You're in a suit.
Yeah. It feels like you're in a fucking. Yeah, my shit, I can breathe.
Big man, fucking doing the shit. I can fucking Macarena if I wanted to. Like,
I could probably get $2,000 for all my suits.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's
nothing. That's...
I mean, my instruments all retain their value.
Yeah, instruments, you know? Solid. And you also think you get big enough, then it's like, oh, you want to buy a suit that was previously worn by Brandon Patrick.
That'd be cool. I mean, I'd like to get to a point. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to get to a point where I had an affiliate deal with a
suit. Okay, company. Okay.
So they gave me a promo code.
Yeah.
And I'm just wearing
their suits.
Their suits.
Yeah.
Someone says, hey, man, I like what you got on.
Bang. Wow. Here you go. 10% off.
Yeah. And, and then they kick me a percentage of that.
Yeah.
That was kind of the deal I had with this company. And then they never did the promo code part. They sent me the suits. And then I was like, so what's up with the promo code? And they're like, we don't know if we're going to go with that. And I was like, I mean, now I just have these suits that I, you know, like, this shit's like hot pink, bro. Like, what the fuck am I going to, you know.
I love hot pink, man. 30% of men that wear pink, nine times out of 10, entrepreneurs and or own their own business.
Okay.
Let that marinate.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why they burned that pink suit.
That's
I'm gonna be an employee forever. Get that shit the fuck out of here.
Fucking hot pink, man. That's like the one too, dude. Like
I
if you can
Pepto Bismol pink.
Yeah, see that's
nothing.
That's like bubblegum. That's bubblegum pink.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
not
yeah.
like
it's too pink.
Yeah, it's too pink.
Yeah.
You're having a girl, bubblegum pink.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I will take your wife hot pink.
I understand. I fucked up. So, okay. You've got your scale plans.
Yeah.
You've got your future kind of mapped out.
Yeah.
Eventually. Sense-ish. So you're just kind of, you got to do better than last year.
Got to do better, and that's like, you know, that's the only thing you think about at a certain point. So, all right, we just got to do better than last year, which we are, but this is going to be the year that's like, all right, we got to do better than this year. Like, last year, we did better than any year since I started the company.
Yeah.
But now that we're, like, again, like, now we're on the block, now we're, you know, we're known, now it's like, all right, we got to continue this and maintain these levels.
So, pitch it to me. I've got tens of listeners all over the world. You know, they're all over the place. They come to Denver.
Yeah.
Why would they get sushi? And why would they get your sushi? Break it down. What do you have over the 50 sushi places on Uber Eats?
We're not Japanese. We're not a Japanese sushi place. We make Japanese cuisine, but it's American sushi. You know, we got flavors and ingredients that we use that are nowhere near traditional. You'd probably get laughed out if you tried to recommend one of these rolls in a traditional sushi restaurant. And that is what steps it up. It's like, fuck, I just had a sushi roll that reminded me of Thailand. I just had a sushi roll that had fucking pork belly in it. You know, and those little aspects of being, you know, super unique and understanding the fact that I personally had never been to Japan, but I've traveled and my palate is strong. And the flavors of sushi can be anything you want it to be. They don't have to always be the fucking dragon. And that's, you know, those are one of the things that I personally don't understand about, like, every sushi restaurant. It's every sushi fucking restaurant. It's the same fucking menu. It's 20 different ways to say tuna. I got 15 different ways to tell you this is cucumber and goat cheese. So it's like, we don't do that. We do 6 rolls that are just, like, different. And then we have some selects, you know. you get your salmon, you get your tuna, because that's what people want. But none of the combinations of sushi that we have for our signature rolls, like, will ever be replicated, because it's just not what sushi is supposed to be.
It's based on your journey.
Yeah.
Interpreted through sushi.
Through sushi. It's my journey through sushi.
It'd be like a General Tso's taco.
Yeah. Like 100%.
These flavors are so different.
There's still some nostalgia. There's still some familiarity.
It's familiar, but it's not.
It's not.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, where are you located?
3559. We're located inside Denver, Colorado. We're located inside Colorado Sake Company. On the other end, north end of Larimer. Fuck, you know, Larimer Square. We're building the new one over here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
And then your socials?
At Denver Sushi House.
Social Security, I'm sorry. I need to it's not.
Do you need the bank routing and accounting? Or?
We all win. We're all going to win. All right? Once this comes through, we're all going to win.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Taylor West, Chef Taylor, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Make sure you check out Chef Taylor at the Denver Sushi House inside Colorado Sake Company. He's doing great things with food. I love eating his food. You're going to love eating his food. I'll see you next week. I won't see you, but you'll hear me. That's how this whole thing works.